17. Window of Opportunity. This young alcoholic stepped out a second-story window and into AA.
I got sober while I was still in college. Once, outside of a meeting, I overheard a conversation between another sober student and a woman who lived in the town where I went to school. She was explaining why so many local residents disliked the students. She described the common perception of students as arrogant and self-centered, and went on to tell the following story. I am a nurse, and I work in the emergency room. 2 years ago, a student was brought in by ambulance in the middle of the night. He had gotten drunk, walked through a second-story window, and fallen 20 feet headfirst into a concrete window well. He was brought in covered with blood. His head had swollen to the size of a watermelon. He kept swearing at the nurses and doctors, telling them to keep their hands off of him and threatening to sue them. He was, without a doubt, the single most obnoxious person I have ever met. At that point, I interrupted her. That was me, I said. That was my last drunk. I had walked through that window when I was 19 years old. How had I gotten there? I had always been a good kid growing up, the kind of son other mothers loved. I was at the top of my classes academically and had been in almost no trouble for the first 17 years of my life. I would like to say that was because of my well-developed moral fiber. In fact, much of it was a result of fear. My earliest memories included threats by my parents to throw me out onto the street for the slightest acts of disobedience. The thought of being forced to live on the street is pretty terrifying for a 6-year-old. Those threats, coupled with a fair amount of physical punishment, kept me frightened and obedient. As I grew older, however, I made a plan. I would be dutiful until I graduated from high school. Then I would escape to college, secure my economic future, and never go home again. Just after my 18th birthday, I left for college. I was, I thought, finally free. I was in for a rude awakening. Like many alcoholics, I had spent much of my life feeling different, as though I just didn't quite fit in. I covered those feelings and my low self-esteem by being one of the smartest people in any group, if not the smartest. Additionally, I became a performer in crowds, always ready with a quick joke to point out the humor in any situation. I managed to bring a great deal of laughter into my life. I went to a college filled with people who had also spent their entire lives at or near the top of their academic classes. Suddenly, I was no longer special. To make matters worse, many of them had what I only dreamed of, money. My family was strictly working class, struggling to get by on what my father earned. Money had always been a big issue, and I equated it with security, prestige, and worth. My father was fond of saying that the sole purpose of life is to make money. I had classmates whose names were household words that connoted wealth. I was ashamed. Ashamed of my family and ashamed of myself. My shaky confidence crumbled. I was terrified of being found out. I knew that if others discovered who I really was, they wouldn't like me, and I would be left alone, worthless and alone. Then I discovered alcohol. I had tried it a few times in high school, but never enough to get drunk. I knew that getting drunk meant being out of control. My escape plan required that I always keep my wits about me. I was too afraid to be out of control. When I got to college, however, that fear left me. In order to fit in, I pretended at first that I had as extensive a drinking history as any of my classmates. It was not long before my history surpassed everyone's. My drinking career was short and destructive, and my alcoholic progression was very fast. I got drunk for the first time in October. By November, people were willing to wager money that I could not go 1 week without a drink. I won, and in celebration, drank myself sick. By January, I was a daily drunk, and by April, a daily drug user as well. I didn't last too long. As I look back on that period, I realize how true it is that one of the primary differences between alcoholics and non-alcoholics is that non-alcoholics change their behavior to meet their goals, and alcoholics change their goals to meet their behavior. Everything that had been important to me, all of my dreams, goals, and aspirations were swept away in a wave of booze. I realized quickly that I could not drink and function at any high level. That did not matter. I was willing to give up anything so that I could keep drinking. I went from being a solid A student to nearly flunking out of school, from being anointed a class leader to being shunned as a pariah. I almost never went to class and did little of the required reading. I never attended any of the many cultural events sponsored by the college. I forsook everything that makes college worthwhile in favor of drinking. Occasionally, some sliver of pride would work its way through the chaos, resentment, and fear, and cause me to look at my life. But the shame was too great, and I would drive it back down with bottles of vodka and cases of beer. Because my college was fairly small, it did not take long for me to come to the attention of the college deans. It was under their watchful eyes that I first agreed to enter counseling. While the administration saw this as an opportunity to help a troubled student, I saw it as a bargain. I would go to counseling to make them happy, and they would owe me one. Not surprisingly, the counseling had no effect. My daily drinking continued unabated. About a year later, I realized that I was in trouble. I had failed a class during the winter term. I had rarely attended and had not turned in the term paper on which 50% of our grade was based. The spring term was looking equally bleak. I was enrolled in a class that I had attended only once. I had not written any of the required papers or bothered to show up for the midterm examination. I was bound for failure and expulsion. My life had become unmanageable, and I knew it. I went back to the dean who had guided me into counseling, and for the first time, admitted to myself and to someone else that I had a problem with alcohol. I didn't think I was an alcoholic. I wasn't even sure what that was. But I knew my life was out of control. The dean allowed me to withdraw from that class the day before the final exam on one condition. I had to enter a treatment center. I agreed. A few days went by. With the pressure lifted, my life did not look so unmanageable. In fact, it looked as if I was back in the saddle. So I thanked the dean for his help, but told him that I would be okay on my own. I did not go to a rehab. 2 weeks later, I walked through a second-story window. After insulting the emergency room personnel, I slipped into unconsciousness, where I remained for 5 days. I awoke in a neck brace with complete double vision. My parents were furious. I was flown home, and the future looked bleak. God's timing, however, is impeccable. My college had a long history of drinkers, including Dr. Bob. At the time of my accident, the deans were assessing how to respond to student alcohol abuse and were waiting to try out their latest idea, Alcoholics Anonymous. I was the test case. They told me in no uncertain terms that I would never get back into this college unless I went to AA. Under that pressure, I went to my first meeting. Looking back, that may have been the first healthy decision I ever made with respect to alcohol. One definition of a bottom is the point when the last thing you lost or the next thing you are about to lose is more important to you than booze. That point is different for everyone, and some of us die before we get there.